It's silage time again. You and me and the big SP praying for no rain. Tipping trailers, pulling balers, smell the fresh cut grass. Keep her lip, fill the pit, that summer kind of glass.
If there's a song that ties into the topic at hand, Gary D will find it. If you have your Rosie on the House home maintenance calendar, you can see there on the bottom right-hand side where it says tune into the Landscape Garden Hour at 8 a.m. on October 19th. You'll see the keyword overseed your winter lawn. That's what we're talking about today with Jay Harper and Rob Simmons from Rainbird. And if you'd like your home maintenance calendar, if you're already on the mailing list and you got 2018 or 2019s, you'll get 2020. But if you'd like to be added to that mailing list, we'll send them out in December. We got them, we got them earlier this month. Started handing them out at the Saba Home Show, but we don't do the mailers till December. If you'd like to get your free home maintenance calendar and keep up with your landscape and garden on weekly tasks, along with things to do around your home, you can just send us the address you'd like that mailed to at info@rosieonthehouse.com, and it'll help you keep up with all the things we have to do around our home to keep up with, well, for a lot of us, those nasty little HOA notes that come around when you've got a weed that's 3/4 of an inch tall that somebody has taken the time to drive around and point out is in your yard, and then took the time to send you a letter about it. We're talking about our sprinkler layout and our pressure system. What about the difference in head types? You've got the traditional ones that just open and have a constant spray, and I've been seeing a lot more of these ones that rotate and have little streams they send out instead.
So for most homeowners, you're going to use what we call a pop-up, which is just a pop-up, and it just sprays out in whatever pattern nozzle you have. You also have the big rotors that, unless you have a big yard, you're not really going to use rotors. And they'll spray 35, 50 feet, depending on what nozzle or what head you're using. But the rotary, it's like a hybrid pop-up. Basically, it's a pop-up, but it sprays like a rotor, meaning that it's got fingers that spray into the same pattern that you would normally use. It actually uses less water. It's pressure regulated. So you're using less. That just means that you can put more heads sometimes on each zone to cover more area.
And they're touted as being less water consuming.
Yeah, they use less gallons. And so therefore, if you have 20 gallons instead of 5 heads or 4 heads, you may be able to do 5 to cover more of that area. Because you do want to over spray, meaning that your normal head-to-head coverage, meaning that one head should spray to the next head to cover. You don't want to just let the two zones touch. You want to get it over to have the proper coverage.
They're also less affected by wind, correct?
Correct. Yeah, bigger droplets. So therefore, you're going to have less loss. Every head, no matter if it's a rotor or pop-up, is going to lose some water. It's going to be gone before it hits the ground. But the bigger droplet size, the better, because it's going to get to the ground more likely.
Now, you were saying something during the break that eventually all the big stores are going to do it because California is going to do it, and it's not necessarily that, it's just the population size that of California that kind of has this trickling effect to the rest of the manufacturing and what's available in stores. What is that change?
Pressure regulation. It's a hot topic, and the reason being is you have less water loss. We were talking that if you're watering correctly, you're watering hopefully from 10 at night to 4 or 5 in the morning. You're not normally seeing your sprinkler system working. And so if you have a sprinkler head that's not working correctly, normally none of the rest of the system is working correctly because all the water is coming out of that one head. Pressure regulation would allow the same amount of water to come out of that broken head as the rest of the head. So therefore, all of it will water correctly. Instead of a dead entire lawn, you'll have a dead little spot. And so That's what pressure regulation is. It allows, you know, if you think about a baseball field, let's say there's a sprinkler zone that covers right behind the baseline, and there's six heads on that one zone. If you have not pressure regulation, the first head behind first base is getting all the water. And then by the time it gets to third base, there's hardly any water coming out of that sprinkler head. Pressure regulation pushes all of the same pressure all the way down to third base. So you're getting the same droplet size, the same spray out of all six of those instead of just the one. And that's really what pressure regulation is it just allows the same formality throughout all the heads instead of, you know, getting most out of the one. Because even if you're getting more pressure out of one, you're getting smaller droplet sizes. Therefore, the wind's going to take it. It's going to evaporate before it hits the ground. So pressure regulation is multiple things. It allows it to cover each one and bigger droplet sizes.
And is that something that's designed into the control box, or is this designed into the head of each sprinkler?
You can have pressure regulation at the valve. You can have pressure regulation at the head and pressure regulation at the nozzle.
All three?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSE-4U. Or if you have a sprinkler question, or you can send text questions to 411-923. Email at info@rosieonthehouse.com or anything about your landscape or garden. We have ground cover was featured in my last Water Use It Wisely newsletter, and that's something that I have been looking for. I've got four pistachio trees in a row, and in between. Because it kind of comes in the front drive, we were talking about how nice it'd be to have a ground cover in between each of those trees, and over the next 4 or 5 years, just have this nice little hedge to drive in when you come in. And although that's an additional plant, it can actually be a water-saving tool.
Well, anytime you're covering the ground, keeping sun from contacting the soil and evaporating moisture out of the soil, sure. Something like Wedelia that would just spread out like crazy and cover a lot of ground would be perfect for that.
Wedelia?
Wedelia.
Wedelia.
Yeah.
Now, what's the purple one? There's a purple and a yellow one that I...
Lantana?
I smell more than I see.
Purple. Yeah, lantana has a very strong odor. That'd be fine.
And that's the purple one?
Can be purple or it can yellow. Be
oh, it's
gold. The gold is a spreading, the purple is a trailing. So, yeah, those would be good ones, certainly.
And what are they both evergreen? Will it stay year-round?
They are subject to frost, so they can you can get some damage in the cold. Same with Wedelia. So, you know, if we have a really cold winter, you may have some pruning to do, and they're all very fast growing, though they'll recover quickly from that.
Good. Now we've got a text question. Somebody wants to know, can they still fertilize their Bermuda lawn?
Would depend on if you're overseeding or not. If you're not going to overseed with winter grass, then yes, I would say one more fertilization would be fine. If you're going to overseed, no, you want to go ahead and you might put some fertilizer down with the overseed to help that germination and the new cool season grass is going to be taking root and growing to have some nutrients there. But you don't want to fertilize with a typical lawn food this time of year if that's your plan.
What would you fertilize with?
Well, usually it's a starter type fertilizer. So something that's a little lower in nitrogen and maybe higher in phosphorus or potash. So the three numbers on any fertilizer bag, nitrogen, phosphorus, potash, NPK. You know, a typical lawn food is going to have real high nitrogen, the first one, and fairly low phosphorus and potash, or maybe no potash even in some cases. A starter fertilizer is going to be just the opposite. It's going to have pretty low in nitrogen because we're not trying to grow a lot of foliage. That's what nitrogen does. It grows leaves. Phosphorus and particular is for the rooting of that. So a very low first number, a moderately high second and or third number is what you'd want for a starter. 6-20-20 is a common one out there. So that's what you would put on at the time of seeding, whether it's a cool season or a warm season. If you're trying to start a new lawn in the summer, same thing applies.
Now, John, if I'm in a setting where the HOA is going to get upset, my neighbors aren't going to get upset, and I don't want to plant a winter lawn, mm-hmm. do I leave the irrigation on the dormant Bermuda all winter long?
I don't know how Rob feels about this. Yeah, but not near. It doesn't need. Just want enough moisture to keep the lawn from getting too dehydrated. So maybe once a month even okay. would probably be.
Yeah, it's dormant. It'll come back. Keeping it moist, like you said, once a month is probably plenty.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I could just shut those stations off or not, but go ahead and give them a shot.
You can. It won't hurt the lawn. But what happens, and let me just caveat, it might depend on how much traffic that dormant lawn's going to get across it. Because if it gets a lot of traffic and it's dormant, eventually it's going to be beat down to the dirt. So you might want to throw a little water on there once in a while to, you know, kind of keep the dust and the dander down and just keep a little bit of moisture. And in a typical winter, if we have rainfall every couple, three, then you don't need to do it anyway.
Okay, so, I was just curious.
Putting too much water also will help with weeds.
True.
You put too much, you'll start getting weeds. Once a month or so, not enough water for weeds.
If you are not going to do a winter lawn, you want to apply a pre-emergent to your summer,
your
Bermuda
point.
Lawn.
Good point.
That's going into winter. So September, October, and again in late February or mid-March are the two key times for pre-emergent herbicide applications. Unless you're planting a winter lawn, you don't want to do the one in the fall because then you won't have a winter lawn probably.
I noticed last year we didn't do one in the backyard, and it made the ground very hard. I mean, we shut the water completely off, and it doesn't get a lot of use. It's not a high traffic. I think the dog trap uses it more than anything, and the chickens find their way back there. But that ground, we're getting ready to overseed because that's our football field for the winter. I mean, that is hard ground. It gets compact quick.
Yeah, it does.
Now, what about gardening? I mean, we've been talking about lawns all morning long, but this is a great time for your winter vegetable.
You'd be so proud of me, John, for the first time in about 5 years, because I've got so much time at home now. We planted a winter garden. But I told Jennifer last night, I said, honey, there's something I've definitely lost since the crash. My bird netting skills. I almost got so taken up in the bird netting, I strangled to death.
That bird netting can be a that can be a fun little thing to.
Oh man!
Especially if you're trying to reuse it from the previous years, man, it'll test your patience.
Oh god! In my younger years, I would have tried to reuse it, but I had Jennifer just buy all new stuff.
Jay, is there other things you can use besides that sticky stuff?
Well, you can use like a cheesecloth, or what you got to be careful of is how much sun you're inhibiting.
Right.
If it gets too dense, then it gets too dark for the plant, or it can get heavy on the plant. And it actually, as things start to warm up, it can get hot if it's laying on the plant. I've had people use shade cloth and throw it right on the plants, and it just torches the plants as it starts to warm up whatever it's touching and laying on. So yeah, if you can find a real opaque muslin or even that frost cloth material where it lets enough sunlight through, that'd work fine.
Well, I remembered about an hour into the adventure, I told Jim, buy one big sheet I can just drape over the whole thing, 10 by 20 by 12. Don't do that.
Do it in pieces.
Get four separate sheets. Do the sides and do the top.